Now, in terms of reporting, and we'll get into this in more detail, myriad standards exist to report on corporate sustainability. While each of the standards intersects in some areas, there are important differences. At this time, for public and private companies, there's not a definitive reporting standard to put in your sustainability or ESG reports for either public or private companies. As we work through this slide deck, I want to, right at the outset, I want us to think about a few things to think about. We're going to talk somewhat about greenhouse gas emissions. We're going to talk somewhat about GHG intensity. And as we walk through the slide deck, I just want to explain a little bit about what they are and how this will affect our businesses. Okay, GHG intensity is what we're going to say is the cost in greenhouse gas emissions to produce an amount of a service or an amount of a product. So, you know, an inquiry of GHG intensity would be how much GHGs are emitted by a company to produce, let's just say, a barrel of oil. So that's one concept. Let's keep that in mind. Let's also talk about scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions, because you hear these, you know, topics bandied about, and the SEC is looking for companies to report, in large part, their scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions. That's for public companies, but I'm going to tell you, because of this concept of intensity, it's going to affect all businesses. So what are scope 1 emissions? They're your direct emissions. So if you have a tank battery, it's your emissions from your tanks, it's emissions from your heater treaters, it's your emissions from your separators, it's your emissions from, you know, your completions. Direct emissions of air contaminants. So that's scope 1. Scope 2 are indirect emissions, and those are emissions associated with what it costs you to get your energy, what it costs you energy to run your business, what it costs you for your heating, what it costs you for your cooling, et cetera. Scope 3 emissions are basically your value chain emissions. They're not going to be scope 1 or scope 2, but these are going to be your value chain emissions. So emissions associated with getting capital goods, emissions associated with employee commuting, emissions associated with leased property, emissions associated with disposal of your goods. And typically your scope 3 emissions are going to be bigger than your scope 1 or scope 2 emissions. So as we talk through this stuff, think about where the SEC or businesses or lenders are asking you to quantify and determine your GHG intensity, and you have to look at these factors. So if you're a public company, the SEC is trying to force that on you. If you're a private company, don't be surprised if you're going to have to do it to be competitive in the marketplace, because on a comparative basis, your product is going to be compared to other companies' products that include public companies. So the current political climate is leading to a heightened and focused regulation of climate change and more broadly these ESG considerations. I mentioned the SEC came out with their proposed rules last month, March 21st, I think. In terms of the reporting regimes, there are a number of them. And again, there's not a definitive approach to reporting these topics yet. We'll talk about what they are. But the reporting regimes differ somewhat in approach. Some look more exclusively on climate change. Others look more directly to corporate sustainability. Some utilize industry-specific metrics to evaluate ESG. Others do not. I'm a big fan of the standards that look at specific industry-specific metrics. You know, I don't think it's possible to reasonably compare an E&P company with a food manufacturing company or a software company. And if you're going to try to figure out, you know, what risks do I have in acquiring a company, you know, based upon ESG factors, you have to know what you should be looking at on an industry-specific basis. So that's a little bit of editorializing. In terms of the reporting standards, what is called GRI and SASB, Global Reporting Initiative, and SASB look at sustainability through similar lenses. Having said that, in my opinion, the GRI standard is a more green approach. They recently came out with a standard specifically to the upstream industry. SASB had one out for years. And if you look, especially if you look at the commentary In the GRI standard, they expect significant change from within the industry. They're, you know, they want you to report on to what extent energy transition is going to affect your business, and the commentary makes clear the direction they are looking and they want the industry to go. The standards all look to what are material ESG issues that companies should consider. And materiality is a building block for ESG reporting. It's not necessarily an SEC reporting standard, and I urge companies to be careful. If you're a publicly traded company and you load into your sustainability or ESG report or your investor conferences concepts about ESG materiality, it ain't necessarily going to be what's material for the purposes of SEC disclosures. And I would suggest to be very careful, because if I was a plaintiff's lawyer and I'm seeing things that are described as, you know, material in an ESG report or a sustainability report, and they're not in your 34 Act disclosures, I would, as a plaintiff's lawyer, I'd be looking at that pretty carefully, and deservedly so. The SEC recently published its proposed rule relating to climate change disclosures. Again, climate change is more narrow than ESG. Climate change is looking at primarily at GHG impacts. ESG is also looking at other environmental impacts, social impacts, and governance impacts, which we'll talk about, so keep that in mind. The proposed rule calls for quantification and evaluation of both direct and indirect emissions, as well as GHG intensity, and we talked about those concepts earlier. So think about that. That's a pretty big job if you're a business to sort out what are your scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3 emissions.